Don't move, just leave your dollar mama with your monitor. Lean back and stay a while, mama with your monitor.
Monitor, the go sound every weekend everywhere. I'm Brad Crandall. Later this half hour, Mel Allen gives us a complete roundup of today's action in sports, plus a look at the week ahead. Coming up in about 2 minutes, Jack Benny tells Monitor why he decided to try the Supper Club circuit.
Love is blind, love is blind. So much love in your eyes. And you know that I will love you till the last round of time.
New York City has been witness to some of the biggest opening nights in show business history. Tomorrow night will be another of those very special, magical nights. Here with the details is Leonard Probst, NBC News, New York.
Tomorrow night, for the first time, New York will see a new Jack Benny. Jack, who has been a star in radio, television, and a concert stage, for the first time will do a nightclub act in New York. He has picked a fashionable place to appear here at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, and he'll work in the Empire Room. Jack, what's a nice guy like you doing in a nightclub?
I like to stay in New York quite a while, and I don't like to be idle too long. Now, I can't ask for anything much easier than to go downstairs at 10 o'clock at night and do one show a night, except Friday and Saturday, we do two, and nothing on Sunday. Now, if this isn't a vacation, I'd like to know what you'd call one.
Getting
a beautiful suite, come down, being a ham for about an hour, playing to a lot of friends of mine that I wouldn't see just visiting New York. And another thing, I don't always appear in places until I find out about others who appear. Now, for instance, Chevalier has played here often, and to me, anything that's good enough for Marie Chevalier is certainly good enough for me. Now, I remember a time, a long time ago, when I wouldn't even consider, I don't know whether I was egotistical or what I was, but I remember the time I wouldn't consider playing in Las Vegas.
Because it was a nightclub.
Yes, and all of a sudden I read where Noel Coward went in, and Chevalier. And I said, well, my goodness, Noel Coward, I must play Las Vegas. And I'll tell you something, any place that has any class to it, now you have to say the Waldorf has class, it's dignified, And I only played one other, and that was in Chicago at the Palmer House, where I had a most delightful 4 weeks.
Did you also have a room at the Palmer House?
Yes.
Did I get the idea that when Mr. Benny plays, it's taken off the room rent?
Well, they do, I don't know. I actually don't know. I took a look at my suite, and I don't know that I can afford it.
When you look toward opening night, do you get at all nervous about it?
No, it's not a nervousness. It's a sort of an anxiety. It's not a nervousness of feeling whether they're going to laugh or not. It's an anxiety whether I'm trying to figure out how many big laughs will I actually get. Now, for instance, one of the big openings I had was 6 years ago at the Ziegfeld Theater, where the opening night was kind of electrifying. It was exciting with all the big critics. There were 6 newspapers there and everybody. And if ever I were to be nervous, that would be it. And I wasn't. I didn't have a nerve in my body.
I was there. I remember you.
And I gave a real good performance. And in fact, even though there was a newspaper strike, the critics had to review it, and all 6 critics went out of their way to say how good the show was. It was almost pathetic to think that there were 6 good reviews and nobody to read them.
Speaking about opening night and nervousness, you said earlier, I heard in the news conference, that Mary Livingston is nervous about opening nights.
Mary will be sitting there being a little bit nervous, more nervous than I would be, yes. And yet, whenever she sees me, she always says, you know, Jack, you were real good tonight, better than I've ever seen you. But she's always nervous ahead of time. And I think most wives are. Most wives are.
Is there any chance there'll ever be a double act?
Oh, gosh, no. I can never get Mary to work again. I can't even get her to come back on my television show.
Why is that?
She just doesn't like it.
Do you like it? Do you like working?
I like working. I don't always like working as often as I do. And I probably won't work as often as I do from now on. I'll try and take it a little bit easier. Now, this would be a very, very easy 4 weeks if, when I come to New York like this, if I didn't have these extra things to do, which you cannot ignore.
I mean, interviews such as this?
No. This isn't it. This you all do in a day. Get it over. There are benefits. There are dinners given to friends of yours. I'm asked to be a toastmaster for a dinner. I'm asked to speak at a dinner. I'm asked to appear at a Banshee luncheon. I'm asked to appear at the Tony Awards. Well, it's not easy to say no to a lot of things, and I'll still have to say no to at least 24 other things.
Thank you very much, Jack.
You're welcome.
This is Leonard Probst, NBC News New York, at the Waldorf with Jack Benny, reporting for Monitor.
This week, Jack Benny was honored by the American Federation of Musicians for having raised over $4.5 million for the Musicians Fund in various concerts across the country. That's not exactly in keeping with his mythical reputation for being a cheapskate, but well, you know.
We still have more to bring you. Just wait and see. More news, more songs to sing you, more comedy on NBC.
Monitor 68, your best weekend companion at home or on the road. I'm Brad Crandall.
Where the deep blue pearly water falls upon. By silver sand, we watch the sun set in the evening in a far and distant land. So here beneath God's blue heaven, there's a place I must go to see the sun set in the evening. Well, the one I know, where the deep blue pearly waters wash upon white silver sand, there on the brink.
of love I kissed her.
Of love I kissed her.
And oh babe,
oh babe,
my heart's a man.
My heart's a man. So hear me,
God's new heaven. There's a place I must go. See the sun set in the evening with the old rich woman. Why tell us sad? There on the brink of love I kissed her. That old baby, my heart's a man. That old baby, my heart's a man. Bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang, bang. The voice of Don Ho on monitor. On the line with Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
You've got an entire year to make up your mind, but give it some thought. You, too, can set a new transatlantic flight record. You know, like Lindbergh. I'll be back with some of the weird requirements, however, after this. What does it mean to someone who works for a living to have health insurance that really pays? Here's the answer from Mutual of Omaha.
Doctors, lawyers, merchants too. People in all types of business who work for themselves can depend on Mutual of Omaha paycheck protection when sickness or accident interrupts their income. When your income depends on you and not a company paycheck, how do you pay your bills and living expenses if you're sick or hurt? With paycheck protection from Mutual of Omaha. It can pay you a monthly check for as long as you're disabled, even for life. Tax-free cash to spend as you choose to keep the home and family going. So, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, or anyone who works for a living, see your local Mutual of Omaha man for paycheck protection. Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
The London Daily Mail announced this week in New York and London that it will sponsor next year a race that will have all the elements of the great train robbery, Ben-Hur, and around the world in 80 days. You're eligible. So is the United States Air Force, the Navy, Marines, the commercial airlines, commercial passengers, the RAF, people with enough dough to charter their own transatlantic planes, private jet owners, companies with long-range planes, and presumably people who can walk on water. There are dozens and dozens of different categories in the race, and the prospect of about $250,000 in prizes. There's even a prize of $12,000 for, and I quote, the most meritorious non-winning entry by a Briton, and a similar one for an American loser, probably some guy who flies the ocean in 3 hours and 3 minutes, then has to wait for 4 hours and 4 minutes to get his bag off the plane. What's it all about? Well, the London Daily Mail has been doing odd things for aviation for a long time. It had a hand in the first flight across the English Channel, the flight made by Louis Bleriot in 1909. 10 years later, it sponsored the first non-stop crossing of the Atlantic to the tune of $50,000 for prizes. It was made by two young Royal Air Force pilots, Captain John Alcock and Lieutenant Arthur Whitten Brown. Anyway, in 1959, just half a century after Bleriot's flight across the Channel, the London Daily Mail staged a crazy but wonderful race from London to Paris. The conditions were somewhat involved, let's say. Contestants had to start from Marble Arch, London, get to the airport of their choice through London traffic, fly to Paris, get cleared through customs, and fight Parisian traffic to the Arc de Triomphe. The frenetic contestants used many methods of cutting down the elapsed times, helicopters, even roller skates, and probably bribery of French customs officers. The winner was squadron leader C.G. Maughan, whose time from Marble Arch to the Arc de Triomphe was 40 minutes and 44 seconds. He was assisted, of course, by a company of RAF security police who audaciously stopped traffic on the Champs-Élysées to give his Land Rover Jeep a clear path. Charles de Gaulle was not amused. This race that is coming up next year will commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Alcock-Brown flight, which preceded that of Lindbergh by 8 years. The dash will be from the top of the Empire State Building here in New York to the top of the General Post Office Tower in London, or vice versa. It will be spread over a week or so to care for special categories, such as small planes that have to put down at Labrador, Iceland, Greenland, Ireland, and the Azores en route, or put down in the drink. Don't forget that special $12,000 award for the most meritorious non-winner. This is Bob Considine for Monitor. Now this final word from Mutual of Omaha. What does it mean to have health insurance that pays? Here's what Bascom Knoll of Churchill, Tennessee, told us.
Since 1960, Mutual of Omaha has paid benefits to the Knoll family on 52 separate occasions. I know Mutual of Omaha will stand behind you when you need it.
Learn how you can have a lifetime of health insurance protection with its special tax advantages. Call your Mutual of Omaha man. There's only one Mutual of Omaha. The company that pays.
Listen next weekend when On the Line with Bob Considine will again be brought to you by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
MS is the great crippler of young adults. MS is a disease of the central nervous system, and it can mean long years of increasing disability and often eventual paralysis. It can cause, prevention, and cure are, of course, as yet unknown, but there is hope for a cure through research sponsored by the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Your contribution can help discover that cure. So please, give generously when your MS volunteer calls.
Mazer makes it in three. That's me, Phil Mazer, and I do make it in three headline-packed hours of news, sports, and entertainment. As New York's newsmakers and I discuss tomorrow's events today, why don't you make headlines with us? Listen and call. The place, WNBC, the time, 4 to 7 p.m. weekdays, the number plus is 78866. And the host, Phil Mazer.
Monitor New York. WNBC, New York.
Here comes more of Monitor.
At 15 minutes before the hour, the soft sound of Mrs. Andy Williams, Claudine Langer.
Près de toi, si l'amour est pris, pleure mon cœur. Mother's Day reservations?
Mother's Day reservations?
Call your FTD florist. Make Mother's Day flower reservations now.
If you're passing through Ephrata, Washington this weekend, you may find yourself on a stretch of superhighway that is privately owned. At any rate, that's what the court said. The portion of Interstate Highway 90, complete with overpass and part of a cloverleaf, was returned to the man from whom the state originally bought the land because a promised drainway was not constructed. So don't be surprised if you have to pass through a privately owned, operated freelance toll gate.
A long time ago when the earth was green, there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free when the earth was being born, but the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpback camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, for sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain. And he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo, and take some of them
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn.
Old Noah was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, hey Lord, I got you
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn.
Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was pouring. Oh, them silly unicorns.
Those green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees.
Noah cried, close the door, cause the rain is pouring, and we just can't wait for no unicorn. The ark started moving, it drifted with the tide. Them unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried, and the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn till this very day. You'll see
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never going to see no unicorn.
The sound of the Irish Rovers. A pause of 6 seconds now as we switch to Los Angeles for Monitor's auto racing feature, World of Wheels, with Keith Jackson.
Hello, everybody. Keith Jackson with Wynn's World of Wheels, brought to you by Wynn's famous friction proofing, Wynn's new charge, and the thousands of dealers who feature the entire family of Wynn's products that keep your car going strong. 19,000 people went to the races in Martinsville, Virginia today. A familiar figure rolled into victory lane in the Virginia 500 NASCAR Grand National Competition. But it was not the driver who had the most fun when the race was over. The famous Woods Brothers pit crew did the loudest whooping. Here's Lewis Compton from the track to tell us why.
Cale Yarborough, driving the Mercury Cyclone, won the first race ever for the Woods Brothers team here at Martinsville Speedway. Now, these boys have been trying to get a win here at Martinsville, which is only 30 miles from their home base, since Martinsville Speedway opened in 1947. They've never been able to bring a winner in, but today was the different day. Richard Petty, who had led 284 laps of the total 500, had to go out with differential trouble. Now, this pays him money in excess of $5,500. But most of all, it means that the Woods brothers have finally broken the jinx here at their home track and brought home a winner in the Grand National Division.
Martinsville, I guess, about the only major stock car track in the country where the Woods brothers have not tasted the fruits of victory. David Pearson, Ford, second to Yarborough's average speed of 6 to 7 miles an hour for the half-mile paved oval. Donnie Allison, third. Leroy Yarborough, fourth, both in Fords. And Tom Piston in a Mercury was 5. As noted, Richard Petty left the race after holding a late lead, but the absence of Chrysler products in the top 5 would seem to indicate there is growing interest in renewing use of the dual carburetor system for those cars in time for the Rebel 400 Darlington May 11. Now, the Rebel 400 is a good one to win. It has merchandising value, and that's no doubt the place we'll see the Chrysler products with the double carb challenge again for the Fords. Well, today's certainly a day that Cale Yarborough won't be forgetting soon, as he won the 1968 Virginia 500. Of course, Cale had a lot going for him, like a top-notch crew and a car that ran all the way. He had something else, too, something almost all NASCAR drivers depend on, wins ready at a stop leak. When you're driving in a race like the Virginia 500, the last thing you want to have to worry about is your car's cooling system. That's why top NASCAR drivers use wins ready at a stop leak. There's always the chance of a pressure leak, and at speeds well over 100 miles an hour, the smallest object thrown off the track can cause a leak. But Wins Radiator Stop Leak stops trouble before it starts. Seals leaks and cracks in radiators and blocks. Stops head gasket seepage, reduces rust and scale. Wins Radiator Stop Leak protects your car's entire cooling system, and why don't you take advantage of it? It worked today for Cale Yarborough. It will work for you. Get Wins Radiator Stop Leak wherever you get gas or service. Second race in the USRRC series today, Riverside, California, for the Group 7 cars, race just over. D. Colgate has the story.
Mark Donahue set an all-time record pace of 113 miles per hour, but he barely limped across the finish line with a faulty ignition to win the race today. Donahue sat in his Roger Penske Lola Chevy the last 3 miles, flicking switches on the dashboard, trying to keep his 427 cubic inch engine firing. Second was Lothar Machenbacher in a Ford-powered McLaren, followed by Sam Posey, Chuck Parsons, and the USRRC point leader, Moises Solano of Mexico City. 14,000 fans watching the race in sunny, mild weather here were disappointed to learn minutes before it started that Jim Hall's automatic transmission had broken in a morning practice session. He had won the pole in qualifying, record speed of 118 miles an hour.
D. Colgate from Riverside Raceway. And let's punctuate the story with this comment from the winner, Mark Donahue, as he reflected on the value in victory lane of anticipating problems on the racetrack.
There's always a chance of, a wire burning through or breaking off or terminals are not, absolutely vibration-proof or fatigue-resistant. And so we had built this system in where the engine would have a separate ignition circuit on the starter motor circuit. Starter motor run and the ignition would be on. You could actually start the motor and it would turn off, when you loose the starter system. So in this case, it was something we thought of a long time ago. Carl Kienhoff, our mechanic, had done that, and it paid off handsomely today.
You may recall that Donahue ran out of gas inside of victory last fall in the final Can-Am race at Las Vegas, allowing John Surtees to win. But today, certainly the fates were kinder for a young man named Mark. Moise Solano, picking up 2 points today, now totals 11 points unofficially for the USRRC series. Sam Posey with 10 points and Mark Donahue with 9. And that wraps it for this edition of Wynn's World of Wheels, brought to you by Wynn's famous friction proofing, Wynn's New Charge, and the entire family of Wynn's products that keep your car going strong. Ask for them by name, wherever you get gas or service. This is Keith Jackson in Los Angeles, reporting for Monitor Sports.
World of Wheels is heard every Saturday and Sunday evening. Listen for Monitor's other auto racing features, Sport of Speed, later tonight. It's a regular feature every weekend. Next, Monitor Music and something new from Paul Marriott's orchestra. Love in Every Room. Thank you. keep your weekend current, check all developments nationwide and world over. Stay tuned for NBC Monitor News on the Hour. This is Brad Crandall.
Don't go away, there's more to come. More to interest everyone. Just stay tuned, we'll be back soon.